Hi, this is John, welcoming you to another Brit Sox and Nerds, the Red Sox-focused offshoot of Batflips and Nerds. This episode is a conversation with The Athletic's Jen McCaffrey, which I recorded just over a week ago in the Pavement Cafe on Boylston Street, just outside Fenway Park. The focus of the conversation is really about the MLB London series, which Jen has done an excellent article for The Athletic on, which some of you may have read and some of you may have not. She interviewed Sam Kennedy, amongst many others, about how that's going to be feasible, what they hope to get from it, and everything along those lines. So it's really worth hearing what Jen found out. We also talked quite a lot about Chris Sale. The reason I've decided to put this out today is because, obviously, this is Wednesday, and yesterday, Tuesday, Chris Sale had yet another frustrating start where he was brilliant and the team wasn't. So the context of this is mine and Jen's conversation took place the day following Chris Sale's outstanding start, where he gave it one run to the White Sox and looked as good as he has for the last couple of seasons. So we talked a lot about that, and obviously it's happened again. So here we are. That's the way it is with the Red Sox this year. Hopefully Jen will be able to tell us that that's not all lost and there's plenty to enjoy for Red Sox fans coming up. So without further ado, I'm going to roll the titles and then you'll hear from Jen. So I'm delighted to be joined today by Jen McCaffrey, the Boston Red Sox correspondent for The Athletic, who is making her second appearance on the Brit Sox and Nerds podcast, but the first appearance in person. Jen, thanks so much for taking a little time out before the game today to have a bit of a chat.
Thanks for having me.
That's okay. We've got my microphone in front of me. My recording device. It must be a bit strange for you to be on the other end of this.
I was going
to
say, yeah, I haven't really seen this like little contraption before, so yeah, this is it's different being interviewed versus doing the interviewing.
Yeah, you're the one sticking one of these in front of Alex Cora, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So it's Saturday morning here. The Red Sox are due to start in 3 or 4 hours in the second game of the set against the White Sox, first of which was a 1-0 loss last night. And it was Chris Sale Day, and it was some Chris Sale Day, Jen, wasn't it, yesterday?
Yeah.
Special one.
We hadn't seen that kind of, firepower from him ever. Topped out at 100 twice, and did some research last night. First time he's hit 100 as a starter in his career. So looked at a little bit of that for a story today. But he was tremendous and gave up that one run, and that was the difference with the weak lineup last night.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, I was sat next to a guy. He was trying to explain the infield fly rule to me after I jokingly said I didn't know what it was. So that was a good half of my game last night. Like, I want to watch Sale. I do know what the infield fly rule is. I was joking. Anyway, that's by the by. So it was frustrating. I said to the guy that it's going to be a flare and a sack fly, and it pretty much was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, not having, I think you kind of saw the byproduct of not having JD Martinez, not having Mookie Betts in the lineup with kind of a lineup that was sort of pieced together in a way. Sale himself was tremendous with 10 strikeouts. I think he gave up, 6 hits that one run. It was just that double and RBI single was the difference.
Yeah, one of those hits was the weirdest hit I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Down the line.
That wobbled, kind of the weeble wobble down the line and stayed fair. But yeah.
So for those who haven't read the story, what did you find out about Sale? Why was he so good yesterday?
So I talked to the pitching coach, Daniel Evangie, afterwards, and he actually talked about they had the extra day's rest, which obviously helped, and they had Jalen Beeks throwing on Thursday to kind of help with that. But also, he was talking about Sale looking at some video of his past couple starts, comparing it to last year, and kind of going back to the windup in his delivery. He had, I guess, tweaked a few things and gotten away from a few things that had been successful with him last year, and was able to kind of pinpoint a couple things in the delivery that were different and not, I guess, helping him out, those two starts against the Braves and the Astros, it was. So he had a couple extra days to kind of piece through some video and then kind of work on some things in an extended bullpen, and obviously kind of saw the results there.
And what was the word on Beaks? I was at the game on Thursday too, and he had a, in some ways it was a rough first inning, and in some ways quite unlucky. Again, a couple of soft contact ones, the one that went out that was basically blown out of the park. But
I think with him, and obviously that's one of those situations where I think it looks worse than it was. That first inning obviously wasn't ideal by any means, but then settled down in those next couple innings, and the pitch count was obviously what kind of pushed him out there after the fourth. But it's not that like they won't give him another chance. I think they wanted to give the rotation a break and kind of give the starters an extra day. This kind of had an opportunity to try to see Beaks, and they've seen him in spring training and liked what he'd done, and kind of wanted to see what he could do. And that first inning wasn't great, but he talked after the game about kind of the pitch mix, and he wasn't mixing as well as he normally does. And obviously he admitted nerves played a factor in that. So I'm sure we'll see him at another point in this year when the guys need another break, or if an injury crops up long term. They've got Hector Velasquez and Brian Johnson in the bullpen that can go long. But Beaks is the next best starter in the minors for them. So I can't imagine that he won't get another chance at some point soon.
Yeah, I read a couple of game stories afterwards, and it was pitch mix was what Alex Cora was saying. Just a lot of fastballs. He had Eduardo Rodriguez-itis in some ways.
That's what he was saying too. Beaks himself, that it kind of got away, I guess, a little bit from the mix that he had in Pawtucket. So I think it probably, nerves had a lot to do with it, and he kind of just got into a rhythm of throwing those fastballs and not mixing things up the way that he could have.
Well, so watch this space on Beaks. Hopefully better to come, certainly based on what he's done in Pawtucket. I think that's a good assumption to make.
Yeah, I would agree.
So the reason really why I wanted to get you on again is that you wrote a piece just over a week ago about the MLB London series. I've got my swag bag on the floor. I don't know if you saw that when you came in. So we're obviously incredibly excited for that in the UK. We spoke a little about it last time we spoke, because it was just about on the cusp of being announced. But you're in your piece, you spoke to Sam Kennedy, you spoke to Chris Park, who's the head of international at the MLB office. So what was it that you heard from those guys about that in general, and then we can talk a bit about the Red Sox particularly?
So The Athletic that week was kind of doing a series of stories across all the different sites on kind of the future of baseball, and so my editors wanted me to work with the Red Sox Yankees series in London in mind on kind of international expansion of baseball. So kind of started off with that idea of how the London series kind of came together, and then went from there. And both of them, Park and Kennedy, were talking about just Europe as an untapped place for MLB expansion. Obviously the NFL and NBA have been to London in Europe, and of course the NHL, but for MLB, the focus has been in South America, in Mexico, in Japan, where those markets are more developed. And there are there are MLB offices, I think, in Japan and in Mexico, and they've have one in London as well, one now in Beijing. I think it's a very long-term goal, but what they were mainly talking about was just sort of trying to drum up more interest in the game in Europe, and in London, you guys are the small,
yep,
faction of,
yep,
diehard fans there, but I think that they're trying to kind of appeal to younger kids. Obviously soccer and the Premier League is the big draw in the UK and in Europe in general. So they talked a lot too about sort of using like the international soccer model of kind of how to build a brand like soccer has internationally, with young kids, and just with a massive audience across the world, and kind of they talked a lot too about the Yankees partnership with Manchester City,
mm-hmm.
In the New York City Football Club, and then obviously the Red Sox with Liverpool, and sort of kind of using those resources to kind of figure out how to get to fans and how to kind of tap that untapped market.
Yeah. Did you get a sense from Sam Kennedy that he knows how big a challenge this is?
Yes.
He realizes that there's, you know, it's basically me and my mates. And,
yeah.
And that's it, right?
Yeah, no, I think that they're very realistic about the fact that this is like a very, very beginning starting point.
Mm.
I don't think that they're assuming that it'll be, you know, that they're going to have a foothold anytime soon, a strong foothold, but he was saying in an ideal world, you know, a kid goes to a game with his dad and he's and then, you know, falls in love with one of the teams and then starts following them and kind of, you know, develops a relationship with the game from there. And obviously that's, again, an ideal world, but yeah, I think they just want to see what might interest people. I don't know. I think it can be, it's kind of like a different and unique thing that I don't know, you might be able to, you know better than I do how interested or intrigued maybe people might be by the whole concept of it, or if it's just kind of like, whatever, here's another thing that's coming.
It's a good question. I mean, I'm not usual in that respect, so maybe I'm not the right person to speak to, but certainly from the point of view of the NFL, I think that has taken root from an initial curiosity.
Right.
I don't think the first couple of games actually sold out,
right.
But now they do routinely every year, and people have their own teams, and it's on like network TV and everything. So, you know, there's a template for them to follow there, but the difference is that NFL had a pretty strong base. It was on network TV in the 1980s.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people who were working shifts would watch it. It was on in the night. That happened with baseball too, but it was on like a really tucked away channel. You couldn't get very good signal. So
I think, yeah, too, one of the things they both also were talking about is just the ability to kind of like stream games anywhere nowadays. And so people across the world can watch games, you know, if they're in China or, you know, London or wherever.
Yeah. The difference is that you have to choose to do that, right?
Right,
you got to
pay
$100 a year to do that. You don't just find it.
Right.
And that's what happened before.
Maybe they're, you know, eventually we'll try to move to something more where it's, you know, you can watch some of them for free and to kind of reel more people in. I don't know. I guess it kind of depends on how things pan out. But, yeah, using, I guess, the NFL as sort of a model, too, of growing slowly. I don't think that they're, you know, the games aren't going to be there. There's not going to be like an MLB affiliate in London or the UK
soon. I don't know if you watched the press conference. The press corps of the UK certainly asked that question a few times.
Yeah.
I think Rob Manfred was getting wary by the time he'd been asked it three times.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't... Yeah, like, I think it's more about sort of just trying to interest people in the game itself. Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of Americans are really into the Premier League, and there's no teams here.
Yep.
So it's a pretty intense, you know, fan base. It's not anywhere near, you know, NFL fandom here, but it's still, there's the pockets of fandom for English Premier League are pretty intense here. There's certain bars here that, like, wake up, you know, early in the mornings to watch the games on the weekends and stuff, so maybe that's sort of a long-term goal for MLB.
So you mentioned that already, and we'll just touch on that again, that when you spoke to Sam Kennedy, you talked about Liverpool and about Manchester City from the Yankee side of things. And so did he give any sense of how they could use that template? I mean, I know that they play a lot of exhibition games all over the States, don't they? And was that sort of what he was saying?
Like, yeah.
Get the snowball effect going.
Yeah, he talked about that. Yeah, like the exhibition game, kind of they were looking into it in terms of, that's how they kind of, their spring training, I guess, is sort of the,
yeah,
you know, the international, like, trips around. But it was more so, I think, like, that's sort of how the series got off the ground, is because maybe, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago, the Steinbrenners and John Henry had this mutual interest in soccer and started saying, like, you know, we need to get this over there. This is a pretty big market that we're completely ignoring. And so I guess the conversation started there, and it really started to pick up when the Steinbrenners and the Yankees had took off with Man City, with the New York Football Club, City Football Club. So from there, I guess it was just a mat. That was, I think, they announced that in, like, 2013, and the club started in 2015, I think. So it's been several years of logistics and figuring out, you know, schedule-wise and all that. But in the most recent MLB CBA, the players, the union and the league had agreed to a set number of international games. And obviously, London was on the schedule, so it was something that they had decided they were going to do. But yeah, that, I think, was sort of the starting point. It was this sort of mutual interest. And we know they had offices there. They knew that they could kind of get something going because there was this mutual interest in the UK.
That's interesting. So we, when the announcement came out, were I think, pretty gobsmacked at the two teams that were coming. You know, I think we had been told that this was a thing that was in the works, and we were expecting the announcement to come along, and it would be, you know, it's the Milwaukee Brewers and the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever teams that they can get. But it sounds from what you're saying there that very much it was the Sox and the Yankees that were pushing it, and that's maybe why it's them that's getting the first bite of the cherry.
Yeah.
As much as MLB saying, let's send the premium brands.
Right, yeah. I think it was kind of a two-headed thing with that, like you're saying. Like, those two teams, because of their backgrounds in just having the soccer teams in the UK and having that foothold, I think we're pretty interested in seeing how they could carry their brands there. And the fact that it's Red Sox, Yankees, MLB was like, yeah, we should probably do this. So I think it sort of was a culmination of things that worked for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see what happens between now and then. I hope that they're gonna give it all the mustard to sort of get people's attention over the next 6 to 9 months. I mean, as you said already, they've got good hooks there. They've got Liverpool. They've got Manchester City. If I don't see Aaron Judge on the pitch at the Etihad Stadium kicking a ball into a goal line, something's going completely wrong, I think.
That was the other interesting aspect of it too, is like they know that, like, not just the game itself is going to draw people in. So they talked about, I guess, last year in Hyde Park, they had
the battleground that
last
was crazy.
Year. And that's what they said. It, like, far exceeded their expectations of, you know, this, like, home run derby type thing. And so they had started sort of, like, doing their early marketing for, like, this is coming, but sort of like a periphery of, like, this is related to baseball, but, like, not the actual game. Like,
that was not baseball.
Yeah, like, there's other things related to baseball that will hook you into the game itself, because they know it's, like, a game that not a lot of people will know all the rules and, like, you know the team's history and all that, so they might know the basics of Red Sox, Yankees, but and the game itself might be kind of weird and boring for people, just a random casual person off the street. But they're trying to do, Sam or Chris, I can't remember, were talking about having like a pop-up thing at Pop Brixton.
Oh yeah.
Having like a kind of a dueling match of what Boston cultural stuff is versus, like, LA cultural stuff.
Oh, yeah, they did
to bring
that,
into to, like, typical American cities and, like, be like, you know, outside of baseball, this is what these two cities are like, and, like, all the cultural feud and music and stuff like that. So I think they're kind of thinking outside the box of, like, we're not going to just get diehard baseball fans right away, but if we can kind of tap into different cultural aspects people might be interested in that might draw in other random people that might be the way to do it. So
yeah, there was a lot of Tupac and a lot of Pixies.
Yeah.
At that event last year. No Jonathan Richman though, which I was really glad to hear here. You know, I told them, where's the Jonathan Richman, man? It's the most famous song about Boston. Well, apart from the ones by Boston, I guess that was there.
That's true. That's a good point.
So yeah, it's gonna be fun. So you're planning to come over, right? Because you used to live in London.
Yes. Yeah, I studied abroad there when I was in college at Syracuse University. I was there for about 4.5 months. Basically in central London. So I haven't been back in about 10 years and I've been dying to get back. So I'm really hoping I can do this trip. We haven't really figured out our travel schedule yet. And the series is like right around my birthday. So, you know, it's kind of like they really just basically need to let me go. So.
Well, that's your petition to the Athletic.
Exactly.
We'll make sure that we tag them in this podcast when it goes out.
Hopefully
right?
They're listening. Yeah.
So, That's fantastic, and thanks so much for taking us through that and sort of giving us the, if not the first person perspective from Sam Kennedy, the person he's most directly spoken to about it most recently. And just to sort of finish up the conversation, I wanted to talk a little bit about the rest of the year with the Red Sox and maybe looking ahead to what we might see next year in London in terms of the teams. I think we know what to expect from the Yankees, that they're going to be good.
Yeah.
So this year, it's going to be tit for tat, right, for the rest of the season. It's basically going to be on a coin flip.
Yeah, you know, I think heading into the season, we assumed it was going to be, you know, this two-headed race, and that's what it seems like, you know, and obviously that's where we are right now in the middle of June, about a third of the way through the season. So even just the games they've played so far have been tight, really intense contests. I can't imagine it not being like this the rest of the year, you know, barring some crazy injuries to one team or another, but it feels like it's going to be tight the whole way through. So, which is good for baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, there's a couple of injury concerns around the Red Sox. So Mookie Betts and JD Martinez are both struggling. I've timed my trip perfectly to miss the two superstars of the two. I saw JD on Wednesday. How far away are they? I know Mookie's taken batting practice the last couple of days.
Yeah, JD actually should be back today, Cora said. But we'll see how that goes. He had some like back tightness that cropped up in the Houston series, and they've sort of been managing it. Wanted to get him off his feet a couple days ago, and then kept him out yesterday to kind of just make sure that it was all okay. We talked to him the other day, and he was like, "There's no story here. It's just a day off." And they've been in this crazy stretch of, I think it's like 52 games in 55 days, so it's been pretty intense, for them. So Cora too wants to kind of make sure he can take care of his guys for the long run, which I think is why they're trying to take their time too with Mookie, because they know how important he is to the team. Mookie's supposed to be taking batting practice again today, and then they'll see where it goes from there. But he's been out of the, you know, he's been away from the team lineup since like the 28th or 9th, so he might end up going, you know, to Pawtucket for a couple of at-bats just to kind of get his timing back. But we'll see, yeah. So, I mean, those kind of injuries, it's not an oblique, it's an abdominal strain or something, so they always kind of want to err on the side of caution in that area, because it always seems to linger. So we'll see how it goes for the next few days.
Great. And just sort of looking ahead to next year, I mean, this is crystal ball gazing stuff, but obviously these are going to be two great teams again next year. But do you think that there's room for the Red Sox to move over the summer? What do you expect? I mean, Kimbrel's out of contract, Kelly's out of contract. Do you see those guys coming back, or is it going to be we are going to go all in and we're going to go for Bryce? How do you see it going?
Yeah, and Bryce has the opt out, so there could be a lot of changes this offseason. I don't know. I mean, Kimbrel has been so good for them. I can't imagine they wouldn't, you know, make a hard bid for him to try to, you know, get him to come back. And Kelly too, you know, he's really kind of taken a step forward this year, and I think they liked what they've seen from him. But it will be interesting to see what happens with Price. I think that's really going to be the big, storyline, at least early in the off season, because I don't know. I think there's a deadline that he has to pick up the option by. Even outside of all that, they're still going to have, Chris Sale and Rick Porcello and Eduardo Rodriguez next year. Dombrowski always makes off-season moves. They're still going to have Mookie Betts and JD Martinez. So this isn't, aside from, those pretty key guys that might not be around, Pomerantz is up too this year. So there's still a pretty strong core for next year. I don't think that they'll be much different next year in terms of how they're playing, but the few of the faces might be a little different, so we'll see.
So just to dig into that a little further, what's the feeling on Price at the moment? I get the sense that he's pretty unknowable, so you would be guessing at best.
It is really hard to read. This year he came into the year trying to be more happy-go-lucky and letting things roll off his back. At least that's what he was saying in the beginning of the year. And then, of course, things with the wrist and the hand and the carpal tunnel syndrome crop up, and he starts to get a little cranky. So he's hard to read. I'm not sure how this situation will go. I really think it'll depend on how the season ends and how the second half goes for him. Because last year the injuries kind of derailed the season. He came back in the playoffs and was great. But I honestly think it's going to depend on how those final few months go, and we'll see. I don't know. My gut says that I feel like he doesn't want to be here, but I don't know. He's hard to predict.
Yeah, that'd be some story if he does go.
Yeah.
I can just imagine some of the takes run out of town by your colleagues in his video game habit. I mean, goodness me, I can't wait for that.
It's gonna, never a dull moment. Baseball has its season, but the off season is its own season. So, particularly in Boston, there's never, people always ask me, you cover baseball, what do you do in the off season? It's like, well, there's plenty of news every day, pretty much, so there's really never an off season here, so.
Okay, great, Jen, that's been fantastic. Thanks for taking time out to pop down and have a chat, and hopefully we'll see you in London next year.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
No problem.